This sermon is titled, The Path to Peace. Now, I subtitled our entire series, Wisdom for Life, because what you notice if you read through Proverbs is the Proverbs are for everyday life. And much of the wisdom, what I've come to realize, much of the wisdom in Proverbs, it's relational. So it's wisdom about how to interact or we could say how to relate with other people. It's wisdom about our shared life. Now, I have three observations that in my 40 years of living I have made on life. Maybe you have made these same observations as well. First one, and these are really basic, you're probably going to laugh, but these are so profound, and I think they help us understand what Proverbs is all about. The first one, you can't avoid other people. Have you noticed this? Am I the only one? All right, here's a second observation. And again, these are just so basic, but so impactful. Some people, including yourself, can be difficult to get along with at times. Have you ever run across a difficult person? Have you yourself ever been that difficult person? Whoever is shaking their head no, I am probably going to stay away from you because you are probably very difficult to get along with. So you can't avoid other people. Some people are difficult to get along with. And then here's a third observation I've made. We could all use some guidance for how to navigate our shared life. Anyone else? You're there with me on this one? Like, there's just some situations in life and you're thinking, I know, Rebecca, you know what I'm talking about. What's it, third grade, second grade? You're like, oh my goodness, Susie? What is it? Second grade? I know. By the time you get to second grade, it's like, my gosh, I need some Proverbs to help me here. We could all use some guidance. Now, I mentioned this book I was reading, Boundless Parenting, and I came across this quote by one of the people who was interviewed, actually Ben Greenfield, who wrote it. It was his wife. The question that he asked was, if there was one sentence or phrase, one thing that you could put on a billboard, what would that saying be? And here's what she said. Life is meant to be shared. And she follows it up with this, which I think is just, there's so much wisdom here. We are all called to participate in other people's lives. How we participate can be wonderfully healing and purposeful, or it can be damaging, hard, and hurtful. How we share life is important. And then I love this final line here. And how we share life, it's up to you. We're all called to participate in the lives of others. And it's really important. We can do it well, or we can do it in a way which is actually damaging. How we choose to share our life with others ultimately is up to us, which sounds a lot like the invitation of Proverbs. Because Proverbs is always setting before us two paths to take. We can take the path of wisdom, or we can take the path of folly. We can choose to be wise, or we can choose the path of the fool. And here's the promise of Proverbs. If you find, listen, and trust the wisdom within this book, then you will come to discover healthy relationships, inner and outer peace. You will come to live a life of joy. But if you refuse to listen, if you close your ears, cover your eyes, if you neglect the wisdom of Proverbs, then what you will come to find, the seeds that you will sow, we could say, are unhealthy relationships, turmoil, anxiety. I'm not sure about you, but I kind of like the first choice up there. I've experienced enough of that second line right there, and I've had enough of it. I could use a whole lot more health and peace and joy and a whole lot less of unhealth. Proverbs is always setting before us this path. Sharing life with others is important, and how we choose to do it is up to us. Now, when I was first reading through Proverbs a couple of months ago to prepare for this series, here's what I noticed. One of the major themes in the book of Proverbs, a word that continued to come up again and again, two words, the word quarrel and the word strife. And after I noticed this word, after it repeated itself a couple of times, I just started writing all the verses down that had to do with quarreling and had to do with strife. We could say discord, arguments. And here's what Proverbs offers for us. Within its pages, there is much wisdom or advice about avoiding quarrels, strife, or discord. Can anyone use some wisdom for how to avoid quarreling? Or maybe you're one of those people that really enjoys it, and you're like, no, I actually want more advice for how to quarrel more. Because there are those people. And to you, I say, good riddance. So let's take a look at what Proverbs has to say about quarreling and how we can avoid it. And here is one of the most basic verses in Proverbs about quarreling. Proverbs 17:14, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Basic. Really hard to do, is it not? Here's a picture of what that might look like. Yeah, when you start a quarrel, this is what happens. One commentator says this. Let's watch it one more time, just so we're clear on the matter. One commentator on this verse says, opening such a sluice lets loose more than one can predict, control, or retrieve. I love it. When you start a quarrel, you let loose something that you no longer have control of. You don't know where it's going to go. You don't know how bad it's going to get. You don't know how much damage it's going to inflict on the other people involved in the quarrel, but you yourself as well. And you can't retrieve it. You can't take it back. You start a quarrel, the words have already been said. The actions have already been taken. You can't just, I want a do-over on that one. Sure, you can, and there's forgiveness. Yes, but the words have already been spoken. And then there's some reconciliation that will have to take place. The wisdom of Proverbs is right here. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out, which raises two questions for us to explore this morning. First question is this. How do I drop the matter? Especially when you feel as if you've been wronged. Because where do quarrels originate? When you feel attacked. When you feel violated. When someone has wronged you. You're put on the defensive. And so then you lash out, you attack, you quarrel. Quarrels originate when there is a gap in expectations. You were expecting this to happen, but yet that expectation wasn't met. So there's a bit of resentment. Or there's some anger that builds up within. Oftentimes, quarrels begin because there is a sense of injustice. The question is, how can we possibly drop the matter? Proverbs says, okay, don't start a quarrel. Drop it before it erupts, before you breach the dam. But how can I drop the matter, especially when I've been wrong? There is something that was done to me, and I just can't drop the matter. So that's the first question we have to look at. And here's the second. What if I can't drop the matter? Or what if I'm neck deep in a quarrel before I'm aware of it? You ever been there before? You're like, ooh, I just stepped there and I didn't realize what I was stepping into. Yeah, I see some of us nodding our heads. Let's look at the first question here. How do I drop the matter? Four proverbs for us. Let's begin with the most simple. How's that sound? We'll get a bit more complex as we work our way through these, but let's start very, very basic. Here's one of my favorite proverbs, and I kept a notebook of all these proverbs that I would just read. It's like, ooh, that one is so good. And the notebook, it just kept filling up. I was like, oh, it's like the whole entire book. Here's Proverbs 26:17. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. Whoever wrote these... Brilliant. I mean, these could be like a stand-up comedy act. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears, someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. I don't believe these are stray dogs. One of the things that we are beginning or trying really hard to teach Kit is that she cannot just run up to every dog that she sees. Wherever we happen to be, whenever she sees a dog, Adrian was at our house last night. She almost ran out the door just trying to get, she heard the dog barking and was, I want to go see the dog. We'll be in the mall. We'll be restaurant, Target, wherever we happen to be. She just, I mean, she's right there by your side 1 second, sees a dog, she is gone. And then we're chasing after her because you have no idea what that dog is like. You don't know if that dog is friendly. You don't know if the dog likes children. You don't know if the dog is going to snap at you a little bit. So the advice we give her is stay away from every dog unless you already have asked the owner, is it okay for me to pet your dog? Can I approach your dog? Here's the wisdom of Proverbs. Stay away from those who are always looking for a fight. I have ended friendships over this. There have been some people in my life, it just seems like everything they talk about, they just want to pick a fight, whether with me or with someone else. And honestly, I don't need that in my life. It's hard enough to live a life of peace. I don't need other people who are going to stir some stuff up within me. Don't grab a stray dog by the ears. You don't know what you're stepping into. Don't hang around people who are always looking to fight, people who put you on the defensive. And then here's another one. Don't allow others to drag you into a fight, to drag you into arguments that they're not your arguments. They're not your quarrels. It's their quarrel. And they just want to bring you into it because they don't want to be alone in it. You know how much turmoil that creates within you when you're dragged into someone else's quarrel? The wisdom of Proverbs, how do you just drop a matter? Well, just don't even get involved in it to begin with. If someone's always looking for a fight, if someone's trying to drag you into, if someone's trying to pull you down with them, like, no, I don't need this right now. Think of that person like as if they're a stray dog, a dog that you're not sure how they will react when you approach, and just simply stay away. Another proverb, Proverbs 18:6. The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. Three things about this one. Be mindful of what you say, and be mindful of how you say it, and be mindful of when you say it. All very, very important for avoiding quarrels. The wisdom of Proverbs is to choose non-reactivity versus reactive living. Three ways to do this. One, when you find yourself swirling around like a raging ocean, when you feel your blood pressure start to rise a bit, pause. And you all know what I'm talking about, right? Someone says something and you want to punch them in the face. Or you can think of something really, really hurtful to say, and it's right there on the tip of your tongue, and you know if you were to say it, and this is what happens when we know people really well, people closest to us, we know how to wound them. So when someone says something to you, you want to lash back with the thing that you know will inflict the most harm on them. When you find yourself in that position, you pause. Maybe you want to close your eyes. You take a deep breath. And then here's three things that have tremendously helped me. Three responses. First, I need 15 minutes. I need 15 minutes. Let me go for a walk. Let me go sit on the couch. Let me go in the other room. Just give me 15 minutes. Second response. We're both going to say something we regret, so let's take a time out. Very similar to the first, but let's put this conversation on pause and let's revisit it. And you know what's actually been really helpful for me? I'll put actually a date or a time on the calendar when we're going to revisit it. So a couple of weeks ago, me and Steph were in a quarrel and we couldn't come to an agreement on something, and it was going nowhere. And the longer that you go where the conversation, the argument's going nowhere, the worse and worse, it just continues to degrade. So we said, all right, let's put a pause on this. Let's revisit this conversation 2 weeks from now. And we'll put it on the calendar. And then in 2 weeks, we'll actually revisit it, because then it gives us both time to think a little bit about it. And then when we come back with a fresh perspective. We're not already dragging each other through the mud. We've had time to think about it, maybe ask someone else for some wisdom to gain some perspective on it. So, hey, you know what? We're going to both say things that we regret. It's not going to help our relationship. Let's put a time out, and then let's put a time in the calendar when we will actually revisit it, because this is important, and we have to talk about it, but right now we are not going to come to a shared agreement. And then here's a third response that's been helpful for me. Let's not have this conversation 10 o'clock at night. It's just not going to end well. Your sleep is going to suffer. You're not going to get a good night's rest. It's 10 o'clock. We're both really tired. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And just the wisdom in these couple of words and putting it on pause. And then even in the morning, my gosh, I mean, you can solve something in 10 minutes that would have taken all night long and would have been really, really harmful to each person. Yeah, the lips of the fool, they invite a beating. So be mindful of what you say, how you say it, and when you say it. Oh, and then here's something else for me. Someone gave me this advice about 10, 15 years ago, and I've carried this one around with me for a while, as it pertains to gossip. If you are ever wondering whether the words you're about to speak or the thing you're going to say might border on gossiping, ask yourself this question. Would I be saying this if the person I'm going to speak about were here in the room with me right now? So let's just say, I'll pick on John back there. So let's say I'm hanging out here with Trish and Nicole, and I want to say something about John. I'm going to ask myself, okay, if John were here in this conversation, would I be saying this? If the answer is no, don't say it. It's gossip. You shouldn't be speaking it. If the answer is, oh, yeah, it's fine for me to talk about this, John would be totally fine with it. And sometimes I understand you don't know, and if you don't really know, if you're uncertain, just kind of don't say it. If you're unsure, just kind of leave it to the side. And this has helped me so many times from saying things that I might regret or speaking badly about someone who isn't there to defend themselves. Here's some more wisdom of Proverbs. And this one, oh my goodness, this one just makes me laugh. When I came across this one, I was like, whoever, like, mic drop for the author of this. Proverbs 21:9, better to dwell on the corner of a roof than with a contentious woman in a house with other people. And we could say a contentious man as well. Okay, so let's not just make it about women, because men, we can be argumentative also. So let's put it both ways, please. Proverbs was written in a different time and place, a much different society. So we could say better to dwell on the corner of a roof than with a contentious person, whoever that person might happen to be, in a house with other people. Here's what this verse is saying. Strife is like a virus that continues to spread. Contentious person is going to bring you down. That's why you stay away from the people who always want to pick a fight. Because you will become like the people that you spend your time with. I love this. This is from, I think it's Ani, some Egyptian sage from thousands of years ago, and Proverbs. It borrows quite a bit from Egyptian wisdom literature. Here's what Ani had to say. If a man desists from strife at home, he will not find its beginning. That is a bumper sticker. Here's another observation I've made on life. The more stressed I am at home, the more stressed I am outside of the home. So if I'm really stressed at home, it is going to affect everything about my life, my work, all my relationships. It is going to affect my general well-being. The wisdom of Proverbs is this: make your home a place of peace, a place that you can retreat to. Whatever happens out there, you have no control of. But what happens at home, you have a role to play in how peaceful your home is. So here's what's been helpful for me. Be ruthlessly inquisitive. Analyze everything about your home life. Routines and schedules. We were finding that the mornings were just, I was frazzled by the time the kids were dropped off at school. I'm like, I can't work, right? How am I supposed to put a sermon together when my whole life is just this chaotic mess right now? And so we started to analyze, okay, well, what are the routines that would help us to have a little bit more peace? So that when we drop the kids off, maybe the stress level is at a 3 or a 4 instead of like a 12 or 13. So be ruthlessly inquisitive about every single area of your home life. How are you spending your time at home? How are you prioritizing? That's a big one right there. And then the effect that it's producing. So whatever you're spending your time on, what's it producing within you? Is it producing peace? Or is it actually taking peace away from you? How do you make your home a place of peace? You analyze every single area of your home life. What about the speech, the words that you use at home? I'm trying to be ever more mindful about the words and the way in which I speak to my kids. Because as someone once said, I don't know who said this, words create worlds. And it's true. The words that you use, remember, what you say, how you say it, when you say it, you're creating a world in your home. What's the world that your words at home are creating for all those who share that same space with you? And here's another proverb for us, Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. How do we drop a dispute? We choose the path of love. So we ask ourselves, who do I want to be? What type of person do I want to be? Or what truly do I believe is the best way to live? If hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all offenses, well, do I want to choose the path of forgiveness and mercy and love? Do I truly believe that living a life of forgiveness and mercy is the best way to live? Or is holding on to bitterness the better way? You're here this morning, so my guess is that you think that the better way is forgiveness and mercy, but it's really hard to live that way, especially when we've been wronged. It's easy to think it and say, oh yeah, well, of course that's the way in which I want to live, but in the moment, in the heat of the moment, sometimes bitterness and revenge and anger feels like the better way to move. So we have to pause, and we have to breathe, and we have to ask ourselves, in this moment, what's going to lead to the better outcome? And you can even get really selfish about it, and you can say, what is going to lead to the better outcome for me? Because as we'll see next week, holding on to bitterness and revenge, it doesn't lead down a good path. And this is the invitation of Proverbs. We looked at this 2 weeks ago. It's the self-reflective invitation of Proverbs. How am I living? How am I choosing to live? I'll throw this slide up here. This is from Jeff, who I interviewed a couple of weeks ago. Here's his questions he always asks himself at the end of the day. And I think this is really helpful for being intentional about choosing how we are living our lives. What am I grateful for? Which Steph actually picked this up from him, started doing it recently, and she's like, I love it. It's creating a different world for me. It's creating a different way of viewing the world. And then here's the questions. What went well? What needs work? What did I learn? What will I do differently tomorrow? Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all offenses. How are we choosing to live? What truly do we believe is the best path for us? Then the second question, what if I can't drop the matter? Or what if I'm neck deep in a quarrel before I'm aware of it? And I love this about Proverbs. Proverbs acknowledges that quarrels happen. Quarrels are a reality. No matter what you do, you cannot avoid them. You can minimize them, but arguments, disagreements, it's a part of life. It's a part of our shared life. Here's what Proverbs says about it. Proverbs 25:9. Have your quarrel with your neighbor. Okay, have your argument. Have your disagreement. But do not reveal another's secret. So good. When we were going to premarital counseling, the person that we met with, he said, if I can teach you one thing, it's how to fight well. We could say it's how to quarrel well. Because some couples, they do it really well, but other couples, ooh, it causes lifelong damage the way in which they quarrel. If I can teach you one thing, it's how to quarrel well. Because in every relationship, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be arguments. Whether it's with your spouse, a friend, a coworker, whatever it happens to be. Arguments are a part of life. So what does wise speech look like? Don't dehumanize another person. Don't verbally attack another person's character. Don't air out information that's been told to you in private. The closer you are with someone, remember, the easier it is to know how to inflict deep, deep harm on them and to really push their buttons. So when you're tempted to do that, just stay away from it. If someone has said something to you really private, really personal, don't air it out. Don't use it as a weapon against them. And it's about how you speak to the other person, how you speak in an argument. Who's heard of the Gottman Institute before? So the Gottman Institute, it is run by John and Julie Gottman. And John Gottman and a researcher, they can predict with scary, scary accuracy which couples will end in divorce. 90% accuracy. So they get a couple in a room, and then they have the couple just interact and talk with each other. 90% accuracy, they can determine which couple, which relationship will end in a divorce. And it has to do with the words that are being used and how they speak to each other and the body language. And so they've come up with the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the four ways of speaking, the four ways of arguing that lead to immense damage to the relationship. I want to show you what these four horsemen are. They have a short little video. It's a cartoon video, and it is so powerful that I just said I have to show it to us here this morning. And this is really helpful if you're married. It's really helpful if you're not married. It's just helpful for whenever you find yourself having a disagreement or an argument with someone else, how it is that you should utilize wise speech so that you don't breach the dam and let loose all that comes with that.
You're so selfish.
Ugh, what an idiot.
It's not my fault we're always late.
Forget it.
Criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. Dr. John Gottman calls these negative communication patterns the four horsemen of the apocalypse because they'll lead to the end of your relationship. In fact, he can predict this relationship failure with over 90% accuracy if the behavior isn't changed. So, what can you do? Well, at the Gottman Institute, we understand you might not even know you're communicating this way, or you might not know how to control it. But if you practice the following four research-based antidotes, there is hope for your future. Criticism attacks the character of the recipient, instead of focusing on a specific behavior. The antidote to criticism is to talk about your feelings using I statements, then express a positive need. Contempt is an expression of superiority that comes out as sarcasm, cynicism, name-calling, eye-rolling, sneering, mockery, and hostile humor. Contempt is the greatest predictor of relationship failure and must be eliminated. The antidote to contempt is to treat one another with respect and build a culture of appreciation within the relationship. Defensiveness is self-protection through righteous indignation or playing the victim. Defensiveness never solves the problem and is really just an underhanded way of blaming your partner. The antidote to defensiveness is to accept responsibility, even if only for part of the conflict. Stonewalling occurs when the listener withdraws from the conversation without resolving anything. It takes time for the negativity created by the first three horsemen to result in stonewalling, but when it does, it can become a habit. The antidote to stonewalling is to break for at least 20 minutes, calm down, then return to the conversation. Spare your relationship from certain destruction. Learn more about eliminating the four horsemen by visiting our site.
So there's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Four ways of speaking, arguing, that lead to damage that sometimes just can't be repaired. I have a chart. Let's see if we're back on here. Yeah, so I'll add this to the newsletter this week. It's a chart that highlights the four horsemen and then what's the antidote to those. So if this is a way in which is damaging the relationship, how do you change the way in which you speak so that the relationship can be healed, so that you don't lead it down a path that you really don't want to walk down. Now, let's close with one final verse of wisdom. This one is from Romans chapter 12, verse 18. This is Paul speaking to the church at Rome. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you. The wisdom of Proverbs, the wisdom here in Romans, make sure your side of the street is clean. You own your part. You can't control other people. You can't control what happens to you. You can control your response. You can control whether you choose to act with reactivity or to be a non-reactive presence that can absorb some of the hurt and the pain. Think about Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Oftentimes in life, we're not aware of the effect our actions or words have on other people. Other people are often unaware of how their actions and their words are affecting you. If you can drop the matter, you drop it. You avoid it. You stay away from it. But if you've been wronged and you have to speak up, do so from a place of love, from a place of looking to heal, a place of not allowing yourself to be dragged into the mud, not allowing yourself to be pulled down into a place of turmoil or anxiety. You respect the other person, you speak up, you say how you've been wronged, and you live with the awareness that the other person, they may not know what they're doing. And like Jesus, we offer forgiveness and healing, because in reality, that's the best path for you.